Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world. How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. To the rest of the world, say your prayer. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host,
Dear Kitty, Kitty, Kitty. Yeah, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Now I've heard it said a few times by a couple of different people that maybe I have a big ego. As good as I am, I should have the biggest ego on the planet. Hell, after all, I am that damn good.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, right over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Good evening, everybody. You can join in on all the fun by tweeting us at WildTalkRadio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, or come to Gerwick.net. WildTalkRadio.com or RackRadioShow.com and interact with us in the chat room. We got a lot to get into tonight because things happened.
Oh my God, stuff happened this week. Holy crap. But before we get there, I need to ask, is it like okay that when the Air Orange came up, I just started doing like the Royal Wave, like, hello, yes, I'm here.
And that is not, it is the Imperial March. It's a remix.
I like it.
It is called the Dragon Empire. This was one of Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson's, themes in Ring of Honor.
Of course he came out to the Imperial March, that nerd.
So I figured, you know, we tie it in a little bit, so there you go.
Well, you know, we can tie in a Flight of the Valkyries here too, but
yeah, we are, because that is the closing song.
All right! So, yeah, so we have a lot to get into. Like we said, we are going to talk all things Daniel Bryan here in a few minutes. We have lots of news. We have NXT Tweet of the Week. So, we're not going to waste any more time. We're not going to screw around. We're just going to jump right into our first topic, which is, of course, Daniel Bryan. For anybody that lives under a rock that hasn't heard, Daniel Bryan announced past Monday around 1 o'clock in the afternoon that due to medical reasons, he's retiring effective immediately from WWE. He later came on the air on Monday Night Raw at the close of the show and explained what was going on, which was he took another test, this time in New York, and they ran a different test than what he has been doing. He's been doing the standard concussion testing, and he did a new form of the concussion testing, and they actually found he has severe damage in, or not severe, but he has damage in his brain. He has a lesion in his brain, and he's had multiple other problems with this. And so, based on that information, Bryan then made the decision to go ahead and retire. And yeah, a lot has come out.
Yeah, he made this
since that.
Yeah, he did. And we're no doctors. We don't play one on the radio. We say that every week. We don't play one on the radio. So, we are going to turn it over to Dr. Bryan. He's going to explain it with his all language and stuff. And then we'll discuss. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the big reason why, 16-year career. But you stated last night that early on you suffered many concussions. How many concussions would you say you have had?
Well, we've been able to document 10 concussions. And as a lot of people who are familiar with concussions know, you can't document all of them. If you were to ask an NFL player how many concussions they've had, it would be impossible for them to say, you know, well, I've been knocked out this time and that time and that time I got my bell rung. But there's also, it's hard to define concussion. You know, when the more literature that comes out about it, the more awareness there is, you know, we're finding out more all the time. So it would be impossible to say.
You said that you recently found out that things weren't as okay with your brain as you thought. How did you find out that your career was going to be over?
So I went to New York City. I had taken an EEG so I'd taken multiple EEGs before. And for those who don't know, EEGs are measuring the electrical brain currents and that sort of thing. I'm not a doctor. So I'm just trying to explain this as best as I can. But this is a new sort of test that they're doing in the EEG while they're doing reflex testing. And so that's actually measuring how the electrodes are going through your brain as you're doing reflexes and reflex stuff. And all my other EEGs had come out great, right? My EEGs had come out great. My brain MRIs had come out great. My neuropsychological tests had come out great. And so I was looking for something further to support my claim that I could come back to wrestling. But what this had found was that I had some slowing. And I think what they said is a small subacute or chronic lesion in my temporal parietal region, which is an area of the brain that causes seizures. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's been hard about this is that I have had post-concussion seizures that I've hid for a long time. And so there was never any evidence to see why I would have these seizures. But then we finally found some.
Now, he doesn't mention that it's been a couple of years since he's had the seizures. I think like 3 years, 4 years, something like that, since he's last had the seizures. But once you're talking about seizures and brain lesions and all that stuff, it's like reality sets in.
Yeah, it's when you start getting to that level, it's dangerous. And as he said, he has 10 documented concussions. That doesn't include any that he did not report. Because Brian has gone on record and said that as early as wrestling, he would get a concussion, he wouldn't take care of it, he would take a couple days off, and then he would go back to wrestling, and he wouldn't let it properly heal.
No, he wouldn't. It's well documented in his autobiography, yes, My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania.
Everybody go check it out.
Go check it out. If you can't hear it, I'm tapping the book right at the moment.
He's doing Vanna White hands. You can't see it.
You can't see this. We're not broadcasting video, but I am showcasing the book towards the non-existent camera.
But yeah, so Brian has had a lot of concussions, and I just want to put this out there to anybody that is blaming WWE for this.
Stop.
And blaming certain performers in WWE for this. Please stop.
Yeah, just stop. Stop blaming the people. Stop. Just stop it. Because there's no one to blame, because this is not a one-time incident. The one incident with Sheamus was the straw, but there's a lot of things that built up to the straw breaking. It's just one.
You're talking
about
a 16-year career.
Yeah, it's a 16-year career of dives and chair shots and everything, and it all builds up. Well, was the Sheamus kick to the head a big part of it? It was the last one. So yes, and I think. And I don't have this confirmed anywhere, and I haven't heard this much talked about, but it's like, you look at Daniel Bryan, and the big talk is, why hasn't it been cleared? We've talked about it on the show. Why hasn't the doctor cleared him? And I think it's because of the seizure. I think he had to disclose it to the doctor, and that's why, you know, he's not going. You can't trust it, because you never know. Say, good, he hasn't had one in 3 or 4 years, but he could.
I think it's more how prone he was to getting a concussion.
That too.
I really think that was actually what it was, because it's like, yeah, okay, he has post-concussion seizures, but he hasn't had it in 3 to 4 years. So it's a semi-valid reason, but it's a completely valid reason. It's more, okay, well, he took a kick to the head and he got a concussion.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's think about this really carefully. And he, you know, he's had this many before now. And 10, like I said, 10 is a very high number. You know, typically most people can only take 1 to 2, maybe 3. That's what most medical journals will tell you. So 10 is excessive, and that's not even the ones that he didn't report. So it's not, I guess, surprising. I think we all, the sad thing is, I think a lot of people knew when he got sidelined 9 months ago that it's like, oh no, because they weren't coming out and directly saying it was a concussion, but it was a concussion and you saw other, or it was something concussion related because you, if you watch Total Divas like we do.
Check out the Rack Actor Total Divas available on rackradioshow.com, new episode this Saturday.
Yeah, because we're informing for Dan O'Brien.
But no, it's like, you look at, you know, Joe, you talk about Total Divas, you see all of them. He talks about it. And they never talked about the injury. It was always a vague thing. And it's always been a vague thing with him. When he was out injured the last time, we knew what it was. It was his neck. It wasn't concussion. That sidelined him after WrestleMania 30. So it's like, you know, he was losing feeling in his arm. That you can, you know what the issue is. You knew why he was gone. This one is like, this one, no, you didn't.
Well, it's like he lost strength in his arm.
Yeah.
You know, he was having other problems. You could tell that there was something seriously wrong with him. And I think at the end he knew there was something seriously wrong, but he didn't acknowledge it. And so it was like WWE knew what was going on, that there was something serious. I think everybody involved did.
But it was Brian
not wanting to believe it.
And that's what most of this year has been for Dan O'Brien. This was a long process of coming to terms with the realization that, okay, I'm concussion prone. This could end my career. And it's like he mentioned, he went to all these doctors and all of them have cleared him, but it's like they only clear you for so, you know, you only take so much. And at some point your body just says, enough. Look at Edge. Look at Steve Austin. Their body said, enough is enough, and you're never getting back in the ring. One person you never hear talk about was Christian. He lost his career because of a concussion. Corey Graves, concussion.
And they're hypersensitive to it. And the thing about it is that a lot of people, I think, aren't realizing or aren't thinking about, and we've talked about it on this show before, is WWE is liable for Brian's health now and after he leaves the company. So if WWE in this situation had cleared him, knowing he's concussion prone, knowing there's a potential problem, knowing something could happen, and he gets in the ring and he gets severely injured or he gets brain damage, then it's okay, well, they're liable for that.
Yeah, they're liable
for that.
Because
they knew.
Oh yeah, they knew. And another thing that's, you know, making around is the lawsuits. They play a huge factor in this, because it's like, Daniel Bryan could have been cleared by any doctor, and okay, you got the second opinion, okay, we'll talk it over, okay, cool, you're good. I think Daniel Bryan would have been back in the ring if there were no lawsuits. Honestly, to believe that, that's a fact. To me, he would have been back in the ring just because, okay, yes, he's concussion prone, but they're not facing any trouble with it. But they're facing trouble with it. And it's sort of like, okay, if we let him go back in the ring, we'll be responsible for it. Like, these people are suing us for being. They want us to be liable for their health. And we can't do that. Another thing that plays in the part of it is the concussion movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. Joseph Maroon was a character in this movie. And he was portrayed as being soft on concussion. He doesn't want that.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't want that reputation. He doesn't want that. So again, there are multiple factors that played into it. One's his health, first and foremost. But the other factors that loomed also played a part why he was never cleared by Joseph.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's like he has to be cleared by Maroon. He has to be. There's you can go get all the independent consultations that you want. At the end of the day, you have to be cleared by this one doctor. And I agree with Rock. I think if there weren't lawsuits, if it wasn't as much of a hot button topic as it is right now, I think Brian would have been back in the ring. But the fact of the matter is he's not, because they have lawsuits. It is a hot button topic, and they're not going to knowingly put him in the ring and endanger his health, endanger his well-being, and be liable for that. Because, I mean, they care about him. He's a human being. They want to make sure he's okay. He's stated several times he wants to have a family with his wife. They want him to be able to do that.
Yeah.
They don't want to subject Brie to having to take care of him for the rest of her life and his life, and have to deal with all the pitfalls that come with that, or they want Brie to have to bury her husband. And that's the thing, when you're talking about head wounds like that, it doesn't take a lot in some of these cases to cause permanent damage or even death.
No, it doesn't. It really, really doesn't. So it's like, the brain is a tricky thing. And you can't mess around with it. You only get one. You only get one. It's not like a body part. The body part you can always replace. You can't replace the brain. Once you lose your brain, you're dead. So that, they made the smart decision. Daniel Bryan made a smart decision for his long-term health. And he wants to do some great things going forward. He wants to help people. He wants to work with charities. That's what Daniel Bryan's going to do. And it's going to be tough for him to move on, but he's been moving on for 6 months now.
Yeah, and I think that's what, and maybe this is just me, but it's like Bryan's already been gone. So it wasn't terribly surprising because it was like the longer it drug on, the more you're going, yeah, he's not going to get cleared. Because if they were going to, you know, like they're not telling you what it is. So they're not giving you a time of when it's going to get better. It's just Daniel Bryan is out for an unknown reason, and it's an unknown amount of time. So as it drags on and drags on and drags on, you're like, yeah, okay, all right, you know, he's probably not coming back, which sucks to say, but you know, it's like we sit here and we talk about it, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's when it gets to this point, it's like, well, you either need to clear him or he needs to retire, or y'all need to part ways.
Right. And here's the crappy part of this whole situation. He wanted to wrestle. His plan was, if they weren't going to clear him, is to leave WWE and wrestle for Ring of Honor in New Japan. Well, here's the thing about that. All those people came to him.
And yeah.
Alright, this is where we're going to go away from the Ultra Series and sort of go back lighthearted on the situation. It's like, you look at all the people that are coming to WWE or are part of WWE since he got his first injury, right? You got Sami Zayn, would love to see another battle between them. Him and Kevin Owens, would love to see it. Him and Hideo, him and Finn, him and AJ Styles, who just came to WWE. Him and Nakamura, who's coming to WWE. It's like, you look at all the potential, and like, oh, this is sucky. It's a sucky for a wrestling fan. And the thing with this whole situation, why people are hit so hard on it, and it's upsetting, is because Daniel Bryan was so likable. He was that guy you could get behind. He was the guy you could root for. He was everything Roman Reigns wishes he was.
Yeah, he really is. He has that, he's a man.
Yes.
Like, we all love Daniel Bryan. We all see ourselves in Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan does not fit the mold. He's not this big, bulky, muscular guy.
No, he's not. He's not the Roman Reigns muscular guy. He's not John Cena. He isn't. He's 5'8", 195 pounds. He has Jesus hair and Jesus beard. He's wrestling Jesus since Shawn left. And he has his own toilet.
But no, I think what made him work was, it was just, Bryan has this natural charisma to him, and he has a great energy to him, and it's like, he just attracts people. He commands your attention, and you just like the guy. It's like, he's really good at making you like him, or he's really good at making you hate him. He has that it factor to him. And, you know, they did such a fantastic job of telling that underdog story for him that just built and built and built and snowballed until he finally makes it to WrestleMania 30 and he wins the championships. And, you know, he has this glorious moment of, he's finally on top and the authority can't get him and nothing can stop him and he's on his way, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And the injury was purely coincidental, but it actually got people more behind him, because you want to see him get better, you want to see him come back, and you want to see him win the titles again. And you just want to root for him. And that's what really stinks is for Bryan, is to be forced to retire right when this career is really taking off in WWE.
Yeah, it sucks, and it really does suck. And again, it's sort of like, if only he had one more year, you know? It's like, you wanted to see where that journey took him. He reached the peak, and you wanted just to see how far he was able to swim. You know, you wanted to see how far he could climb, because he reached a certain point, he got the title, and then just sort of, his luck ran out, and it sucked. It really, really does suck.
Yeah, it does, and it's left a lot of variables in question, including what happens with Brie. Is she going to be done, or is she going to continue on? You know, at least her kind of in an awkward spot, because she was staying around for Bryan and for Nikki, and while Bryan is out retired, Nikki's out hurt for probably better part of a year. And well, we all know Brie, she wants to have babies. So could it be that Brie Bella also retires and goes home with Brian after WrestleMania? Nobody's entirely sure there. And of course, Total Divas, you can't forget that. They are a central part of that show. What happens now that Brian is no longer a WWE superstar? They can easily tell that story in the show if WWE and Brian wants that.
I think they will. I think he's going to have the easiest show to tell. You do the Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. We're having a baby series.
First reception on nationwide television ever.
We'll actually see her going, yes, yes. And really, no, that's what she says.
Yeah, because only Daniel Bryan can work a that's what she said joke into his retirement speech. That right? Nerd.
Right.
But, bless him.
Yeah, so that's the... I have a feeling Brie's done after WrestleMania. That's just my gut telling me. We're SummerSlam at the latest.
It kind of depends what's, you know, honestly, what she wants to do. Because realistically, Nikki is out better part of a year. Brie could, depending on if Brie, how quickly Brie could get pregnant, she could get pregnant. She could have the baby and she could come back and do one last run. That's what she wants. I don't think she wants that. This is just me personally. It's, I think she's ready to go home, have babies, and just be a housewife and a mom and be with Brian, and they do their thing and they live their life.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's ready to move on. And I think the only reason she stayed around was for Brian and for me. And now it's okay, well, you're both not here, so I'm out.
Yeah. She's out, and that's where they'll probably go with it. That said, go ahead.
But on the upside for Brian, more thing before you break.
No, I wasn't going to break. I was going to talk more about Brian, but yeah, go ahead.
On the upside for Brian, to look at the upside for him, he's retiring with his health.
Yes, he is.
He's not too terribly badly banged up. He can still get around really well. He doesn't have any really, you know, beyond the concussion issue, any serious nagging injuries for him.
Right. You know, he's your typical wrestler injuries.
But he's in good shape, good health, so that's the upside to it. If you can find, you know, if you really want to find an upside into it, it's a horrible situation no matter how you look at it, but you look at the silver lining, it's like, Brian is okay. Brian will be okay. And that's what's important.
Right. Now, changing gear a little bit with Daniel Bryan, it's now looking back at what we saw. We saw this man go from, it was always interesting watching the old footage of, you go from babyface Bryan to the wrestling Jesus Daniel Bryan, and it's sort of like, oh, okay, that's how it went. But I know, for me, like, there's a lot of great moments for Daniel Bryan, but the one that really sticks out, and I'm working this into the show, is Team Hell No.
Oh, I love Team Hell No. I miss Team Hell No so much.
I think everyone misses Team Hell No so much. And it's like, they had, like, for a better part of a year, Daniel Bryan and Kane and The Shield had the best matches on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter the combination, they had the best matches out there, and it was some of the greatest stuff you would ever see. And it's like, it got everyone talking every single week. Like, oh, did you see Daniel Bryan and Kane? But some of the best stuff came between Daniel Bryan and Kane just backstage, all their goofy shenanigans with one another. It was miss Team Hell No, miss the feels of Team Hell No.
I know, and we didn't. Sadly, Kane was not there. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure we would have gotten one last hug.
We would have probably got one last hug. And like I said, I'm working into the show this little segment.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Dr. Shelby. I'm the anger management specialist for Team Hell No. Some of you might remember me. I heard that on Monday Night Raw, Daniel Bryan announced that he would be retiring. This is a photo of him. I wanted to say, hey, Daniel, I know that was a tough choice, but I think you did the right thing. We'll all miss you a lot. And I also wanted to say to all of Daniel's fans, hey, some of you might be feeling angry, so here are some things you can do. If you start to feel angry, you can remember what a great career Daniel Bryan had on WWE and how much great stuff he did for the sport. That'll make you feel better. If it doesn't, you could always do one of the things that I taught Daniel to do, like give someone a hug. Yeah. Or if you're still feeling angry after you hug a friend, then maybe reach for those anger balls and give them a squeeze. So just to recap, congratulations, Daniel. You're a great guy. And if you're still feeling angry, think about how great Daniel is. or give someone a hug, or squeeze your balls. Bye-bye. Now what do I do?
I love this so much. This is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. It's like Dr. Shelby wishes Daniel Bryan well. Bless.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, there have been so many wonderful, wonderful tributes to Daniel Bryan, from Samoa Joe to Finn Balor to Bayley to Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, John Cena, Vince McMahon, Triple H. You know, everybody is just this outpouring of love and respect and support for Daniel, but this took the cake. This was like, this came out Tuesday, everybody was so down about it, and it was like, oh god, Daniel Bryan retired, and Dr. Shelby did this, and it was like, yes! Yes! I feel so much better now. Because it just made you laugh.
It did. So, it's like, yep. Gotta work Dr. Shelby into the show. He follows me on Twitter, at Dr. Shelby Tweets. You can follow me on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio.
You shameless
Yep. Follow her, at Lynn's Ward, LINSWARD. Anyway, but no, I just go back and, like, if you want to laugh, just go back and watch some of the Team Hell No stuff. If you're, like I said, again, like you said, if you're sad about Daniel Bryan, go back and watch some of his great matches. Great. Just some of the underrated stuff he did was on the Saturday Morning Show. What the hell was it called? Saturday Morning Slam. He would do stuff. The stuff on the JBL and Cole Show with the Bear and Kane and Daniel Bryan rapping.
Oh God! Oh God! That was horrendous and amazing all at the same time.
It's that stuff. Like, Daniel Bryan was an all around performer and one of the best, and he's going to be missed, but it's what we got to this week. We got closure. Daniel Bryan got closure, and we can no longer, we can stop speculating on what is Daniel Bryan going to do next. Who's he going to fight? Oh my God, you can imagine him versus Brock Lesnar or AJ Styles. That all is now put to bed. Is it sex? Mm-hmm. We won't get to see Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar or whatever, or more closure with the Wyatt family or Finn Balor. Yeah, it sucks. But at least we know. That question that's been looming, you know, we questioned it for the Royal Rumble, we questioned it for WrestleMania, that question's finally put to bed. And,
yeah.
I think that's the good thing that came out of it. It sucks he's gone, it sucks he had to retire at such a young age, but we got closure.
But we got closure, he got closure, and more importantly, he's retiring with his health. And he's gonna be fine, he's gonna be okay, and he will lead a full, happy life.
Yeah, and that's the best thing that's to take out of it. He's going to live a great life. He's going to make a great father. You just know it, and it's going to be all kinds of awesome.
Yes, but all I have to say is thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the memories, Daniel Bryan. You will be missed. Please, please don't be absent from WWE TV for too long. I kind of hope what they do with him, what they do with like Edge and Shawn, where just randomly every once in a while Daniel Bryan pops up, you know? I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what I hope.
Yeah, so I can't say that any better. So I say we take a break.
I say we take a break, too. So when we come back, we're doing the rest of the news, y'all. Because as if this wasn't enough, but wait.
There's more. There's a lot more to come.
Huh?
I said there's a lot more to come.
Yeah,
you, well, hold on. No one heard that because you broke up there. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen,
TNA superstar EC3 Unbeaten World Heavyweight Champion, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, which we have friends over at Wrestling for Your Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG11 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure
I
needs.
See and colors! I see colors everywhere! Colors!
Come to play! All right!
I can't stop seeing the colors! They're all over the place. There's red and blues and yellows and oh my god, my eyes! So many colors!
It's so pretty!
I don't want to go that far to say there's colors.
It's shiny.
It's shiny. We'll go with shiny. I'll go with shiny. I wouldn't say it was pretty. It was shiny.
Yeah, but if you're just joining us, you missed our fantabulous segment on Daniel Bryan. And now we're going to jump into the rest of the news. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, PWMania.com, TNASlam.net, and Gerwick.net, because I think I forgot to mention them at the top. Sorry!
I got in there earlier, so we're good.
Okay, good. Sorry. I'm a little distracted this evening because, well, we have a lot, and we're not going to waste any time, so jump right into the injury wrap.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Oh my god, I hate that we have to.
I hate that I had to make it, but I love the. I love the bumper. I really do. It's one of my favorite things on the show right now. The injury bumper.
It's so sad we had to make one because it's that bad.
And this week's injury roundup, presented by Gerwick.net, we'll start with an update from last week. Last week it was being reported that Davey Richards had an MCL injury. Well, it's been later confirmed that it's a little bit worse than an MCL, and he'll be out a significant time with an ACL injury. No word if it's a tear just yet, but with it being out significant amount of time, one would assume there is a tear in there somewhere that has to be repaired. So, sad news on the Dave Richards front, which means he'll be out of action from TNA probably for the majority of the year.
Yeah, that's 6 to 8 months right there. And just off top. That sucks. I'm so sorry to hear that for you. Because he just resigned.
Yeah, they just resigned a new contract, and they were going to head into a big feud with Beer Money. And who found, by the way, here's your Impact Wrestling TV update. James Storm found the Boozer Cruiser.
He didn't find it. Bobby brought it back after the divorce.
Right. He brought it back after the divorce. He brought back the keys. Yeah, that's true.
Because, you know, they broke up, and Bobby got the Bruiser Cruiser in the divorce, and now that they're back together, James gets it back.
Right, that's right. And that's right.
Because what Bobby will get back is the 15 pounds from James.
This is true. So yeah, sucks for David Richards. Another injury on the front that. Okay, it's a bad thing that the injury happened, but it's the greatest injury to have for the fans of Finn Balor, or the fans of Baylor, as it were, because out of the sprained ankle reportedly of Finn Balor at the NXT house show on Friday, it led to the greatest video in the history of videos hitting the internet with Bayley and Finn Balor. Finn Balor was in the Bayley was in the ring. She said she brought out Finn Balor. He wanted to cheer him up because he's sad. He hurt his ankle. He has a boo boo, not Lindsay's boo boo, but a boo boo, a bruise. All right, a sprain. Not that boo boo. No.
Aww.
No. He has a sprained ankle. He's all sad, and, you know, Bayley, being the nice person she is, she wanted to cheer up her friend Finn Balor. So, you know, he whispered to her what he wanted to see, wanted her to do, and what she did was the greatest thing in the history of things. She did his entrance.
And knocked him off his feet. I mean, they just need to get married and have lots of babies. I mean, it's so stinking cute. And then she went and broke his heart.
Right, yeah, broke his heart. Loving someone else.
Yeah.
But it's like, it sucks that he got injured, because it's like he did the double foot stomp on the house show. It's like, oh god, no. Please don't break your ankle. We don't need you to break your ankle, not with everyone else going down. Finn, no more jumping, doing the double stomp. No more breaking the ankles. No, can't do it. So he sprained his ankle. Again, it led to the greatest thing. You know, she does his entrance. She puts on his hat. He puts on her headband. And then it's just all types of cute and adorable. And then they're coming home, and she's pushing him in the wheelchair. It's like, aww.
It's just, they just need to get married.
We officially ship it.
Yep. Baylor, everybody. Baylor. Ship it. Own it. Love it. Deal with it. Moving on. Rock has a special sounder for this, and I'm just gonna read the headline and let him go, and that is that CM Punk is officially out of his fight at UFC 199 because, well, he has a herniated disc, and he's gonna be out 4 to 6 weeks. You know, not to sound like a completely unsympathetic a-hole, I'm terribly sorry that Punk is in pain. That's awful. But it's kind of coincidental that he's choosing now to take care of this when apparently he's had it for a while and he's been dealing with it for a while.
What makes me do the laugh is because 4 days prior to this announcement coming out, they set up the match for UFC 199. They shot the angle. The dude won his match, and CM Punk did the face-to-face. They were promoting it like it's going to happen in June. It's a thing, and then it's not a thing.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's Punk talked about how he, in an interview, that how, you know, he's been having problems for a while, and he hasn't been dealing with it, he's been dealing with it, and apparently it flared up really bad in the last few weeks, and so obviously he went to go get it checked and figured out, oh, hey, I have a herniated disc, and oh, hey, I need to have surgery, which, of course, is going to take him out, conveniently out of his match at UFC 199, so it's like, everybody's kind of going, huh, on this one. I'm sorry he's in pain, and I hope he's feeling better, because I think he's had the surgery, hasn't he?
He's either had the surgery or will be having the surgery this week.
Okay. So I'm happy to hear that he's going to be feeling better, that he's going to no longer be in pain. That's awesome. But again, very, very, very coincidental that, oh, look, the match for my very first UFC fight got set. Oh, oops. I have a herniated disc. Sorry, y'all.
It sucks. It sucks to, like, I want to see him fight. I want to see what he can do, whether he loses, gets his ass kicked, or he actually is good in the ring. You want to see it. But this is the second time he's been injured while training for the fight. So it just begs the question, is CM Punk in good enough health to get in the ring and fight for the UFC? It's a legitimate question at this point, since he's had to take time off for a shoulder. Now he's got to go under the knife for a disc, for an injured back. It now makes you wonder, can he physically get in the ring, in the octagon, and fight? It's a legitimate question at this point.
Yeah, it's a concern, because it's like, okay, well, what else is wrong? Because obviously years and years and years of wrestling have torn him up, and now he's dealing with the after effects of having a lengthy, well, you know, or I should say well, but good wrestling career. So his body's now basically paying him back for that by, it's like, oh, well, you know, my shoulder's messed up. Well, I have a herniated disc. You know, his knees probably have problems. You know, his joints all probably have problems just from taking the abuse that they took for those many years. So it's like, yeah, it's a legit concern. Can he get in the ring or can he? And is, you know, is the UFC making a smart business decision by putting him in the ring? Or is it just basically, okay, well, you want to be a UFC star? Okay, we're going to give you a contract. We're going to book you a match, and we're going to let you get your ass kicked. And I'm going to make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, I hope he gets back in the ring. I hope he can actually fight and get one, at least one under his belt. I know that, like, he was reported, like, there's eight, he has eight fight contractor or something like that. I want to see him get one. I want to see what he can do, and if his training is working. And it's just...
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's genuinely curious at this point what he can do. And now we're going to have to wait again to find out what he's capable of.
Right, they may just push this back 1 month, and this fight may happen at UFC 200 in Las Vegas. We'll see. But again, this shoulder, back, you wait for the next shoe to drop, whether he can get in the ring. That's what I'm waiting to see. Until he actually steps foot in the octagon and goes, all right, he's got his gear on and he's ready to fight. Then we'll know it's legit. Until then, it's just all talk, and it's been talk for a year and a half.
Yeah. It's like, all right, it's time to put up or shut up, dude.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, we're all, it's like, yeah, you're sitting there running your mouth, and you're walking out of interviews, and you're being your normal, charming self, and it's like, okay, we're all used to this, we're all used to you jaw-jacking, now it's time to see you get in the ring, and now it's time to see if you can back up what you actually say. Because this isn't WWE, this is UFC, so we all know it's legit. So it's like, you need to prove you are exactly what you say you are, or you're done. That's really kind of how this works. Like, there's no, as far as we know, there ain't nothing fake about UFC. Not that there's anything fake about wrestling, but
wrestling's predetermined.
Wrestling is predetermined.
Because if it was fake, Daniel Bryan would still be in the ring.
Yeah.
So yeah, that covers it. And the Steve Austin belly laugh is just perfect to some of the, it's like, makes the announcement 4 days later, not happening. So it's just like, yep. Got it. Do it. Anyway, move on.
Speaking of Steve Austin, perfect transition.
What?
The Steve Austin podcast returns to the WWE Network this Monday with special guest The Big Show. That should be fun.
How many times will Big Show turn during the podcast?
Three.
Okay. But you didn't know it was happening. The first time they announced it was tonight on SmackDown. The only reason I knew it was happening was I watched something on the WWE Network and they played the 10-second clip of promoting the thing before a show on the network. It's the only reason I found out Steve Austin was doing a podcast live with The Big Show on Monday. That's because they didn't promote it on Raw because everything was focused on Bryan. I don't remember seeing a commercial for Steve Austin.
I don't think there was one.
Yeah, so it's like, I think I watched it. Yeah, what I thought, well, here it was. I watched the Daniel Bryan clip the next day, right? And they ran the advert before it. That's how I found out. And that's why I made our run sheet before they even promoted it today.
Fair enough. So I don't really have a transition for this, but Cricket Wireless, as an official partner of WrestleMania 32, which is taking place on April 3rd, 2016, from AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas.
Steve Austin's home state.
Steve Austin's home state, there we go, there's our tie-in, is launching a new sweepstakes to send one lucky winner and their guest to WrestleMania 32. Ooh, we could go to WrestleMania.
Ooh, sweet.
Hey.
Hey.
Beginning today through March 20th, 2016, WWE fans can enter the sweepstakes by visiting their local Cricket wireless store or go online at cricketsweepstakes.com/WWE32 to enter for a chance to win. The grand prize winner will receive round-trip airfare and lodging in Dallas, Texas for two, $500 in spending money, and a new ZTE Grand X3 with 1 year of Cricket wireless service. Oh, that's a phone.
Yeah, that's okay. A phone.
I didn't know what it was. Thought it was a car for a second. Tickets to the VIP WrestleMania pre-party and WrestleMania access. So again, if you want to enter, if you want to go to WrestleMania, go to cricketsweepstakes.com/WWE32. Because hey, we made it. Waited all my life. We made it. Maybe. Possibly. No. Fine.
You've lost me.
Speaking of making it, because I don't have any other transition for this, WWE announced that John Cena will be voicing over the role of the Hulk in the new Marvel Online Avengers Academy game. So John Cena is continuing to branch out. And speaking of John Cena, DK Publishing will be releasing Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect, World of John Cena, in March of 2016. The 200-page full-color book features Cena's matches, rivalries, in-depth breakdowns of key matches from his career, and more. The foreword of the book is written by Vince McMahon himself, fancy, and it also contains a limited edition Cena wristband with an embroidered logo. If you haven't ever checked out the DK books, we've talked a lot about them on this show. We're friends with Brian Shields, cheap plug, Kevin Sullivan, another cheap plug. They do phenomenal work. They did the WWE Encyclopedia. They did the 30 Years of WrestleMania. They did the Undertaker book. They do really, really, really amazing work. So I expect that the Cena book should be pretty spectacular.
One other final Cena note. It's on our rundown, but it's a thing. Starting in April 15th, Thursdays at 9 p.m., we'll be starting the American Grit, the reality show John Cena filmed those 6 weeks while he was gone from WWE TV on Fox.
All right. Go, John, go. Woohoo!
Woo!
And on to some happy news. WWE has hired a new announcer. Her name is Catherine Kelly. She worked for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and AfterBuzz TV. So, Catherine, welcome to the craziness. But
to make room.
To make room, unfortunately, WWE decided to let go of some talents. Sadly, we will no longer be getting Bullfit with Bold MC.
Aww.
We can't go party with Sylvester LaFour. Kane's love child is gone.
Oh, poor Marcus. Hold on. Poor Marcus Louis. Oh, no more creepy Kane kid. Aww.
He had to look down at everything.
He did. He was Kane 2.0.
He really was. He was like Kane's bastard love child.
He really was.
He looked exactly like him.
He did. He really,
down
really
did.
Down
to the slacks.
Down to the slacks. Yes.
Also released were Oscar Vasquez and Pete Howard.
Pete Howard just recently signed last year at some point, and it just sort of didn't work out. Same for Oscar. So, yeah, they released five people. Again, it's not a surprising thing for some of them, especially LaFord and Louis, because they really had no place on the roster for them.
Well, I mean, developmental is designed that you either go to the main roster or you leave. It's not the type of place for people to go and stay there for years at this point anymore. They're really trying to make room for people and have a general cycle of probably about 2 years for every talent. And LaFour had been there for a long time. Louis had been there for a long time. Bull Dempsey was a more recent signing, but I think they just couldn't figure out what to do with him. And so it's something of, okay, well, they got Tyler Breeze to the main roster because they wanted to hold on to Tyler. And I think they genuinely wanted to do something with Sylvester LaFour and Marcus Louis, and they just could never make it work. Or it was just something of, okay, yeah, this isn't going to go.
On the good news for Marcus Louis, he's writing a book.
Really?
And it's not a tell-all book.
Okay.
He's writing a science fiction novel. Think Buffy the Vampire Slayer on steroids. Strong characters, funny, and over the top in many ways.
This could be either really good or really bad.
He has two book ideas he's going to write, and he's going to pitch them to publishers at the end of the year, so that's good. At least he has a plan.
At least he has a backup plan.
Yeah, it's good.
Just, you know, just in case. More sad news, kind of an update from last week or on the Rebby Sky Awesome Kong situation. This is brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.net. It appears that, as we predicted, Kong is facing the brunt of this situation, and unfortunately she was released from Impact Wrestling this past week due to the incident with Rebby Sky, which I personally think is kind of crap, but I understand why it was done.
You gotta make a safe working environment for all involved, and since she was the one who laid hands, she is the one who has to suffer the fate.
Yeah, it's one thing if Rebby's, it's like, you don't answer words with your fist. You just don't do that. And had Rebby done fists instead of words, oh yeah, Kong is completely, totally justified in laying hands back. But as it stands, it's like, yeah, you can't try to strangle her, you know?
Especially in front of a kid.
Especially in front of a kid. That's just, yeah, all kinds of awkward.
By the way, Rebby, when you're on TV, hide your spanks.
This fashion update brought to you by... Okay. So we have one more story. We have no... I guess speaking of inappropriate actions, because it's the only way I can tie this in, we have to talk about the other big story of the week, and we're closing the news with this because we didn't want to do two long discussions back-to-back that are both kind of semi-depressing. And we have to talk about Titus O'Neil getting suspended for 60 days for roughing the boss. And I want to go on record before we discuss this as saying that I am agreeing with everybody that I think this is completely stupid. This is nothing more than Vince got embarrassed, Vince's ego is coming into play, and Titus got suspended because Vince is tired of people screwing around. So guess what? Titus had to bear the brunt of this, and it's an unfortunate situation. That being said, Vince is within his right to do what he did, because guess what? He is the boss. And I want to liken this to basically anybody walking up to the CEO of their company or the owner of wherever they work and grabbing them and roughhousing with them. And some people are cool like that. Vince McMahon is not. Please do not put Vince McMahon as on the same level as everybody else, because he's not. There's Vince, there's Hunter and Steph, and the rest of the staff that are kind of on Vince's inner circle, and then there's everybody else. It's kind of a 3 or 4 tiers. It's a multi-tier system. But Vince is at the top. And yeah, Vince is cool with the boys and the girls in the back. He has a good working relationship with pretty much everybody. They all get along, or they all pretend they get along. Everything's hunky-dory happy. But Vince is not like everybody else. So you don't treat Vince like everybody else. And that's the thing. And it's like, it's the same in any company. It's like, I would never walk up to the CEO of the company I work for and, you know, grab his arm and roughhouse him with him, or, you know, do what Titus did, which was basically he actually tried to let Stephanie go ahead of Vince.
Supposedly,
that's the story that's coming out, and, you know, said ladies first. I would never do that. Even if I had a good working relationship with the CEO of my company, which I don't, I would never do that. And you don't do that in a professional environment. You just don't. It's basically, okay, you're the boss, you do what you want, fine, I'm gonna get out of your way. That's how that goes. And so Titus was, you know, basically trying to let Stephanie go first ahead of Vince, supposedly, and Vince basically didn't like being grabbed, and he pushed Titus back. Everybody kind of laughed about it, and everybody thought it was fun until the suspension came down. And originally it was 90 days, and it got reduced, I think, to 60. But here's the rub on this whole thing. Vince is tired of people not acting like professionals. When you're on camera, which they were, you're expected to be professional. You're expected to do your job. You don't grab Vince. You don't try to stop Vince. You don't try to do anything to Vince. Mainly because it's not scripted. Vince was out there for the celebration for Daniel Bryan. That's what he was there to do. And then he was heading to the back. And he got grabbed. And he was not okay with it. Which, you know, as a person, that's within his right to not be okay with that.
You don't grab the boss. You don't grab the CEO of WWE. You don't say, oh, ladies first. No, you don't do that to Vincent Kennedy McMahon, your boss. He leads the way. He's the face of your company. He's the chairman of the board. You don't go, oh, ladies first, Vince, joking around, ha ha.
You don't do that. You don't. And Vince is tired of people not being professional. And the trick with this is it happened on camera. If it had not happened on camera, the suspension would not have been as severe, or it may not even have happened at all. But Vince felt he got embarrassed. And that's the key to all of this, is Vince feels embarrassed by all this because Titus grabbed him and they had a little altercation. And yeah, Vince shoving Titus back was not the most professional either. But guess what? He owns the company. He can kind of do what he wants.
Right. And, you know, but that's a reaction. Someone grabs your arm, you shove him back. Like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you touching me? You don't touch me. I'm Vince McMahon, damn it. You don't touch me. Especially when we're just casually walking to the back. You know, it's, you don't do that to Vince. I don't care who you are. Not many people can get away with it. Titus O'Neil shouldn't, I put it like this. If you're a football fan, and you get two players are roughhousing, and you, the first guy shoves, and then the guy comes back and then shoves back, it's always the second guy who gets caught. While Titus may not be the one who's responsible for all the shenanigans that go on backstage and why they're not being professional, he's the one who got caught. He's the one who did it out in public. So he has to suffer for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this whole thing, one, please, I can't believe it got to the point, it was in the New York Post. This has nothing, and I repeat, nothing to do with racism. It's not a racist act that a black man was suspended in Black History Month. Has nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate timing. I mean, Titus has come out and said he messed up. He knows he messed up. He knows what he did. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. And it's stupid. I agree. It's completely stupid. It's all ego-driven. But it feels like the situation is just kind of spiraling out of control because everybody's like, because everybody I feel like is trying to make this into something that it's not. I don't feel that Titus should necessarily have been suspended for as long as he was, or as heavily suspended as he was, but it's to make a point.
Right. It's to make a point. A week suspension wouldn't have made a point. Oh, we just get suspended for a week? Oh, we get suspended 60 to 90 days for this stuff now? Oh, or we miss our WrestleMania paycheck?
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like, look, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of paying you guys, and you're screwing around, and you're not doing what I need you to do. I need you to be the professionals that I'm paying you to be. I need you to show up, do your job, and do it as you're expected to do it. And guess what? If you don't do your job the way that I expect you to do it, you're going to get suspended, and you're going to potentially miss out on a big payday. Which for Titus, unfortunately, is WrestleMania. He will not be there. Well, he may be there, but he won't be performing. He won't be doing access, which is really going to hurt because they get paid to do access. And so the more signings you can get for that, the better.
Yeah.
And so he's going to miss out on that. He's going to miss out on all of it, which, again, is unfortunate. But it's to prove a point. It's Vince expects them to behave a certain way. He expects them to do their job. And honestly, when you're on camera, you need to be doing your job. I get you're trying to be a nice guy. I get you're trying to let Stephanie go first. I think it's admirable. I applaud it, and in any other situation where it does not involve the CEO of the company, it would be totally acceptable. It would be totally fine. But the fact of the matter is it involves the chairman of the board. It involves the owner of the company, and you just don't. In any professional environment, you just do not grab the owner of the company. You don't do that.
No, you don't. So, yeah. And the laughable note on this one is Batista says, told him, made a phone call and said, go ask for your release.
The only problem with that is if he asks for his release, where is he going to go?
TNA. TNA.
He could go to Lucha Underground, but that's only in season. And so he would have to wait for them to start shooting again, which he may or may not want to do.
Which would be in July. They would start shooting again.
I also want to say this one thing, because I've seen this point made a lot, that it's basically Titus doesn't deserve to be suspended because he's a good guy. I think that I understand it's a valid point, but I don't believe it is. Simply because you can't discipline people based on whether they're a good or a bad person. It's like, you know what? Here's the thing. Titus is a great guy. Okay? He does all this charity work. He's an amazing asset to the brand. But that shouldn't exempt him from when he does something bad or when he does something wrong from being disciplined for it. Because then that's not fair to say, okay, well, Titus, yeah, okay, Titus is a great asset to the brand. He's amazing. He does all this charity work. Okay, he grabs Vince. Yeah, you know, we're not going to worry about that. Or he does something to embarrass the company or embarrass Vince McMahon. Yeah, we're not going to worry about that because he's such a great asset to the company. But, you know, for example, Damian Sandow, just to pull a name out of the hat, does equally amazing charity work. He does it on the down low. The company doesn't talk about it. Does he, you know, say he does the same thing? Is he any less deserving of, you know, basically being exempt than Titus O'Neil? And it's like, well, Damian Sandow, you don't really know what he's doing. You don't hear about his charity work, but he's just as good as a guy as Damian or as a Titus. So, I mean, to me, it's like you can't base punishments on what they do for the company and how valuable they are, because nobody's exempt. Nobody should be exempt.
Randy Orton was being pushed as the face of the WWE, and how many times was he suspended?
Twice. At least twice.
At least twice. Yep.
For drug related, I know that. Yep. I think there have been a couple other non-drug related suspensions, but yeah, I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter how valuable you are to the brand, it's how you conduct yourself, and you are expected to conduct yourself as a professional. They're paying you six figures too. And yeah, everybody can cut up and they can have fun at work. I'm not saying you can't, because we all cut up and have fun at work, but there's a time to cut up and there's a time to do your job. And people are cutting up when they're supposed to be doing their jobs, and Vince is sick of it. And like I said, if this had not happened on camera in front of a live crowd, we probably wouldn't hear anything more about it. But the fact of the matter is, it did happen on camera. It was in front of a live crowd. It's recorded. We can all see it.
Well, we did for a while.
We could, before they edited it, yeah. But the point was, it was there. And it was viewed by Vince as an embarrassment to not only himself, but the company. And he's tired of it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Titus is the one to bear this brunt. That's just it. I think it's stupid. I think it's pure ego, but I understand the reasoning. Vince is the owner. He can do what he wants.
It's his company. When it's your company, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, so it sucks for Titus, and I'm sorry it happened to him, but I mean, there's enough justification, at least for me working in a corporate environment, where I don't exactly deal with that kind of stuff every day, but I deal with that expectation of professionalism every day, that, yeah, I understand where they're coming from on this a lot. So it sucks that it happened to Titus. It really does. But that's the short of it.
Let's go to break.
All right. Awkward break. Woohoo.
I got nothing to add. You said all the points that won't get me in trouble.
Yes, exactly.
She's my filter.
I am totally his filter. So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And when we come back, we're doing Tweet of the Week and we're talking NXT. So, you don't want to miss that. So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back.
What was that moment for which we without a parachute, about to die. Find myself convincing.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
to the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. Are you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And hello to all our friends over at Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for listening over there. And now we're going to jump into Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So Kevin Owens, my dog keeps throwing up in my car. Please retweet.
I saw that got a lot of retweets.
It did. Somebody replies, he's probably wishing you had a better car. And Kevin goes, I highly doubt that's the issue. And then Kevin follows up with, the dog and I got home safe and sound. I guess he gets car sick. Now I know. Be right back. Gotta go clean the passenger seat for about 4 hours. Finn Balor. I was really sad until Bailey wore my jacket, done my entrance, gave me a hug, and blew me off my feet. Little heart emoji.
Aww.
And Bailey replies, highlight of my career, of my life, hashtag thank you Finn, with little heart eyes, smiley.
Aww.
Somebody tweets, Dash Wilder, Kevin Owens is a nasty loser when he doesn't win. He flips out and attacks the other player. To which Dash replies, I'll talk to him about it. And Kevin Owens replies, no, don't. And then Finn Balor tweeted Bailey, hey Bailey, you know what Finn 316 says? And she goes, what? And he never answered.
Boo.
And then there's Bailey going, I love Gable, and Finn tweets a heartbroken heart.
Aww.
It's okay. They'll mend fences.
They'll mend fences.
They'll mend fences.
It'll be fine.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Matthew of Botchamania. Vince. Hey, Undy, how you feeling? Undy, I'm feeling great. What's the Mania plan? Vince, you versus Braun. Undy, just remembered, I'm injured. Pasta Salsa a.k.a. Pigeonus, tweeted, Mauro Ranallo, what's been your favorite match to call in WWE so far? Mauro Ranallo says, the one between Byron Saxton and catering.
Well done.
The Ginger Ninja tweeted, Sasha, I just seen the future and Bayley vs. Sasha 22 is a game of Monopoly. Who wins? Sasha replies, me, duh. Up, up, down, down tweets. On Sunday, it's Bayley versus WWE versus Sasha Banks WWE. Three comes to up, up, down, down. Bayley totally isn't nervous. She replies, dude, I'm not nervous. She doesn't even know the name of her player. Sasha replied, dude, shut up. Bayley replied, dude, you're a cheater. Cheater in the ring, cheater out of it. P.S. His name is Kong, not Kuro Khan. The trash talk. But we're not done. By the way, you have to watch it at youtube.com/upupdowndown without the O's. It's amazing. The fake ESPN. Breaking. Joe Namath just already hit on Lady Gaga. Steve Martin. The coin flip always makes me cry. David Spade. Shit. Tails. I just lost $50 million. Not Bill Walton. Marilyn Monroe and Scott Baio are getting paid in 2016, and they have been dead for decades? Wait. What do you mean Baio isn't dead? So Becky Lynch tweets, at it's Bayley WWE looking all fly on this Super Bowl Sunday. Hashtag Sasha vs. Bayley 3. And she puts out a picture of Sasha already made up Bayley, which is Pogo, in a clown makeup. Which Bayley replied, dude! Crying emoticon. He goes, Becky Lynch goes, what? You look lovely.
I need a car with the three of them in it and a camera.
Right? Charlotte tweets, is it me? Is it just me or did Hawk have pinkies up in the hashtag Coke mini commercial? Hashtag fancy man.
He has manners.
He has manners. He's not Mark Manners, but he's manners.
He's classy like that.
Nick Mundy, I want to get hammered with Helen Mirren and take an Uber to the next bar. I think everyone does.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, that's why I figured you would be. J.A. Dundee, the official did a good job staying away from the loose ball. Almost as good a job as Cam did. Taking shots. Tyler Reeves tweets, easy everyone, it's not like Super Bowl 50 is the Stanley Cup Finals or anything, or something. At NHL. It's true, Tyler. It's true. Tim Stein would agree. The fake ESPN, LeSean McCoy attacked two off-duty police officers at a nightclub. He mistook the man for Chip Kelly and Riley Cooper. Taking shots. Big E tweets, after each of the first three shows of my first European tour, Brian yelled at me for punching him in the nuts. Hashtag, thank you, Daniel Bryan. Keep it 5-star. Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose are channeling their inner Emma and Dana Brooke. This makes Brock Lesnar Asuka? Hashtag Raw. It does make Brock Asuka.
Yes.
In such situations.
We're going to get to Asuka later.
Yeah. Keep it 5-star. Who is this WWE 2K16 creator superstar, and why is he facing Bray Wyatt? Hashtag Raw. He has a point. I back did look like a creator wrestler in the game.
You kind of did.
One more from Keeping 5-Star. This Daniel Bryan retirement has Bray Wyatt speaking all kinds of gibberish. Poor guy doesn't know how to cope. He really doesn't. All right, so this one goes, Jason McIntyre tweets out, this is basically a link to a column. There is no reason anymore for a consumer to watch SportsCenter. Well, Scott Van Pelt of SportsCenter goes, background for sex, tweeted at Kenny Mayne, another SportsCenter announcer, host, whatever you want to call him. Katie Nolan tweeted, background for good sex, welcome distraction for the bad kind. And Scott Van Pelt tweeted, or replied, gives all the old catchphrases new juice. Yes, it does. She replied, I find it's better if you add more words like booyah was cool, but booyah, I really like that play. Pops. Yep, sex humor. It's amazing. On Twitter. Tommy Dreamer tweets, today is National Pizza Day. Why am I not the official spokesman for this? If I eat a slice and see my shadow, 6 more weeks of pizza. Duh.
Did he see a shadow?
I do not know if he saw a shadow or not.
We need to confirm this. I need to know if there's 6 more weeks of pizza or not.
I will. Let me read this next tweet and I'll find out. Tommy Dreamer, my daughters want to play Twister while watching the movie Twister. I'm getting fans for added effects. Hashtag my house. Now let's go back to Tommy Dreamer's Twitter.
He's such a good father, you know? Because, right. You know, how are you going to play Twister during Twister without the tornado? It's just, you know, without the wind.
He does not confirm whether or not he saw his shadow, so we'll have to find out if he actually did. So we'll tweet him and find out. Keep it 5-star. Mandy on Total Divas. I know how to cook. Eva Marie. LOL. And the kitchen exploded. Melt in the future. Titus O'Neil grabbed the member of management and got suspended. Triple H grabbed the member of management and got 14 world title reigns. Hey-ho.
Storyline!
Sean Waltman tweets, I don't think I could vote for anyone who parts their hair on the side. Rand is out, so I guess I have no one to vote for. Well, you have one man to vote for. You want to know who?
No.
I'm going to tell you who. Doesn't matter. Christopher Daniels tweets, I will happily accept your vote based on this criteria. Hashtag, no part whatsoever. Hashtag, Daniels for Prez.
I'm in!
It's something
I know
can
who
get.
I'm voting for president! I'm doing the write-in.
Christopher Daniels.
Everybody, within the sound of my voice, go vote for Christopher Daniels. He has no platform, no nothing, but let's get him the presidency.
He just has no part whatsoever. Congrats to Christopher Daniels, by the way, for signing an exclusive deal with Ring of Honor.
Go, Christopher Daniels, go!
And finally, one final tweet from the Jim Cornette, former guest of the show. In other news, at Burger King is adding hot dogs to their menu. Next, they'll be adding meat to their burgers. That's Tweet of the Week.
Ouch. So now...
Let's dive into NXT.
Let's dive into NXT.
Alright, so Gargano took on Corbin in the opening contest. When you have these two in the ring, you realize Gargano is small.
Yes. Tiny. Like, he's tiny.
We know he's small, but damn, he was small.
Yeah. Either he's really small or Corbin is a hell of a lot bigger than we think he is. I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B.
Yeah, yeah. So Corbin beat him for a while. Gargano reversed a sleeper with one of his own and went for a fury of offense until he got cut off. Gargano hit a big super kick, which everyone went, ooh, got a two count. Corbin rolled to the outside. He regrouped. Gargano chased him out, got back in the ring. End of days. Your winner, Corbin.
Of course.
Well, it was a good match.
So, it was a good match.
Sammy was talking backstage, said disappointment because he thought he won. He thought he won the match and was disappointed that it's now they have to fight again. He says this is another obstacle in his way from becoming NXT champion. Says he won't let Joe stand in his way from being the first ever two-time NXT champion. Solid promo from Sammy.
Yeah, I mean, great promo from Sammy. It's a nice build towards the match.
We had more vaudevillians go huge.
Yay!
Hype Bros got faced some guys. They got hype.
They didn't match.
Zack Ryder's tights did not match his boots. So the Hype Bros got hyped. Hype Bros won with the Hype Rider. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
We then had Bayley. We then had Bayley backstage. She said the only thing harder than winning the belt is keeping it, and she's not ready to let go. And Carmella talked about this is the biggest match of his career, and she's ready. And once you know, they won't let anything stand in between them. And when the bell rings, let the best woman win. And this was a nice promo by the girls. They're friends. They have a match. They're not going to, you know, there's no tension involved. Bayley wants to keep her belt. Carmella wants to get the belt. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was really, really, really nicely done.
So it built for the matchup later, which we'll get into. Then this match happened. Alexa, the evil Sparkle Fairy Bliss, took on Cameron. I felt really sorry for Alexa Bliss.
Cameron was trying. I mean, bless her heart. She was trying so, so hard. And she pulled off some nice spots in the match. I will give her credit where credit's due. She did hit some nice moves.
She also botched the clothesline.
And there kind of got to a point in the match where Alexa was like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to beat you now because I'm done.
I'm tired of selling. I'm tired of selling for your moves. You're not that great. I'm so much better than you are. And then Bliss hit her double knees and the sparkle splash for the win. Alexa sort of missed the knees, but, you know, it worked. But that being said, Alexa Bliss is so much better than Cameron. And I really felt bad for Alexa being in that ring. I know it's developmental, and I know, you know, she's trying and everything. I just thought Cameron needs more work. Like, she was able to pull off her moves, and was very confident doing her moves, but it was just, there was no flow. There was really no flow. It was just, here's everything I know how to do, and I'm going to do it. And you just saw it. It just, Alexa Bliss wanted to be anywhere but in this ring with Cameron. You saw it on her face.
Yeah, it was kind of evident. I mean, Cameron has improved. Don't get me wrong. Cameron has improved. And I'm happy that she's improved. I'm happy that she's trying. She just needs a little more work. I mean, she's kind of in the same spot that Eva is in the sense that she knows how to do the moves, but she really doesn't know how to do the psychology of the match. And it's just, okay, I'm going to throw this move and this move and this move and not try to get you really invested in it yet. And I think if she just continues to work on that and continue that skill, she should get better.
Possibly.
I mean, some people just never get it.
Some people just never get it. And I had the debate in my head. Is Eva Marie better than Cameron?
It's kind of mixed.
Cameron's a little bit more confident, but Eva can pull the moves off better, kind of, sometimes.
I think Eva's a little more athletic.
Yeah. So, that was that. We went backstage, Enzo and Kaz, they were talking about how they want to become back-to-back winners in 2016 for best tag team of the year, and then Jordan Gabriel said, well, it's an Olympic year, and, well, this will be their year. And, you know, they talked about working together next week, cause it's a big 8-man tag, and then Gable wanted them all to do the catchphrase, and they weren't doing the catchphrase. It was entertaining.
It was entertaining. It was very entertaining.
The Drifter, Elias Sampson, beat Jesse Sorensen. It was a long squash match.
Boring. Yeah, it was a long squash match.
The fans were chanting, drift away.
So the Drifter, not very popular.
No. Okay. So, one of my pet peeves when I hear promos, right, is when people do the cliche. Okay? So, Apollo Crews talks about how he has no regrets and knows what he has to do and yada 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 to be better, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he drops the cliche line of, well, the next time you see me in the ring, you'll see a new Apollo Crews. But you're supposed to be talented and you're supposed to be great before. So, was that all a bunch of lies? Because what's going to be new about you? It's like a cliche that really doesn't work. It's a cliche, and it's like, you're going to see, because I lost, so next time in the ring, and when I win, it's a new Apollo Crews. But nothing changed. I don't know, it's a pet peeve of mine. I don't like, you're going to see a new this. It's like, no, it's the same old, same old.
Yeah, it was just kind of eh.
Don't tell me you can't, just putting a new coat of paint on it doesn't mean it's the same thing, because it is.
Yeah.
Then it was match of the night, NXT Women's Titles on the line, Bayley versus Carmella.
God, this was so good.
Good match. Really good stuff out of Carmella. Bayley got the best out of her. They had a handshake and hug to start. They both went for a dropkick at one point. We had the Abyss, and we had the hugger up, Bayley, hugger up, which was good. Carmella was in control, went for a Bronco Buster. Bayley countered with the clothesline, repeated elbows by Bayley in the corner. Carmella stopped Bayley on the top rope and knocked her out of the ring. And this was Carmella's. This was her, like, moment of, what do I do? What do I do? My best friend's down. What do I do? Do I go after my best friend or do I win the match? So what she did is she hit a big dive through the ropes. And then she got back in the ring and she's like, Bayley's still down. What do I do? What do I do? I hit the dive again. This time she brought in the ring, got a two count, repeated covers for a two count. She hit the Bronco Buster followed by a faceplant, went for her submission. It was countered and then we hit back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Attempts at pins. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 until 1-2-3 Bayley wins.
Great match between these two.
The finish was great. The chemistry was great. Carmella stepped up her game because you could tell they worked hard on this one beforehand. And
yeah.
They put together a great match. Bayley wanted to showcase her best friend. She did that. She put her over. She sold for her. She made her look like $1 million. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, more of this. And I love that Carmella stepped up.
So, yeah, she stepped up. She really put the energy in. And you could just tell that it was a great stuff by both girls.
Okay, so great match. Love that they got time, too.
They got some time. They got a lot of time. It was good. It was good stuff. They hugged after the match. So, Carmella gave Bayley the ring. And then Eva Marie attacked Carmella on the ramp with Nia Jax laying out
Bayley. Which is totally uncalled for.
Totally uncalled for. Nia Jax laid out Bayley. Then they brought Carmella in the ring, multiple leg drops. And then Asuka makes the save, and Eva hides behind Nia. And then, you know, a stare down happens, and Eva tells Nia, we gotta go. Let's go. Bayley comes back in the ring, checks on Carmella. Asuka and Bayley have a stare down, and Asuka wipes the belt. Me want belt, basically. This was a great angle. great forecast of what's to come with Nia Jax and Asuka, Asuka killing Eva, and eventually Eva, Asuka and Bayley.
Book it. Book the thing. Do the thing. Give me the thing. Now! Asuka versus Bayley. Do the thing.
Right.
I cannot wait for this pairing. It's going to be spectacular when they get together.
Yeah, well, man. So that was great. Joe was backstage, talked about next week's match, said Sammy's ungrateful because he saved his life. And, well, he says he will be the next NXT champion. Joe is motivated. Joe is focused. His promos are on point. I love this Joe.
This is the Joe we've been waiting to see for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And he's finally here.
Did you say years?
I did!
But yeah, this was... A lot of the show was... You could miss. But the Bayley-Carmella match... You don't want.
Yeah.
That was the highlight. And next week we get Sammy and Joe.
Can't wait!
But that's NXT, and I think that's the show.
I think that's the show. So, well, you got stuff to plug.
I do, but I love this music.
Makes you want to dance.
I'm moving my arms back and forth.
Are you a wacky inflatable tube man?
I am now. You can't see it, but I am. Anyway. That's the video for another edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 5, Episode 4, available this Saturday. You can follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show. Check out the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, and check out the website, RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, Midnight Edition is episode 421. Nothing really special. It's about CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Go back and listen to last week's episode where we went till 420 in the morning because we're nuts.
They're on track for episode 500.
We are.
Where are they going to go 500 minutes? Nothing? Really? Nothing?
You can't see my eyes right now. They're doing a glare in your direction.
I can feel the glare.
Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. See me read it live on Facebook and Twitter. See me read it live.com. I can say this 90% sure. 99% sure. Russell Talk Radio, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Talking Daniel Bryan, Talking Fastlane. Tim Stein, Mason Omega. They're back.
Yay.
At WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter, RussellTalkRadio.com. Monday Night Raw post show 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Recapping everything that goes on Monday Night Raw. And again, you can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Get the show on iTunes, search Rock Radio Show, search for the network, Wild Talk Radio Network. Tune in and Stitcher, Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnasylum.net, WrestlingFigureWednesdays, youtube.com/mbg1211, and the very fine people over at gerwick.net. To everybody over there, thank you so much for listening to us. To everybody listening on wildtalkradio.com, thank you so much for listening to us. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. This has been The Rack, and we will see you next week. Bye.